down, but he didn't let go. He grabbed for his rifle with one hand while he held onto the backpack with the other.
You're about to wish you never set foot in that store, little girl.
That's it. Colt couldn't let a kid who was trying to keep herself and someone else alive get shot. Not when you could do something about it. He stepped clear of the building with his gun pointed straight at the soldier.
Drop your weapon!
The girl spun, dirty dishwater hair flying wide in an arc as her mouth fell open. Her hands still clutched the backpack, but her eyes were trained on his gun.
I said, drop your weapon!
Or what? You gonna shoot a man in uniform?
The soldier tried to puff himself up with one knee on the ground and the other contorted in pain.
You really want that hell on your shoulders?
Colt didn't blink. Are you really going to shoot an unarmed little kid? How are you going to explain that to Colonel Jarvis? The soldier faltered, the barrel of his M4 dipping as he worked his jaw back and forth.
Who are you?
Colt stepped closer. You don't want to know who I am.
Drop your weapon.
The girl stood, petrified and still, staring at Colt like the Red Sea parted at his feet. One shot would end this, one bullet to the asshole's head, and the girl could run, and Colt could be on his way. But he didn't want to shoot anyone. Colt knew the rotten streak ran deep inside the man. One look at the sneer in his face and the calculating look in his eyes as he positioned himself behind the kid, and Colt had him pegged. He wasn't one of the good guys. He was one of those SOBs who joined the military to shoot people, not to keep the country safe or do his duty. Like a bad cop on a power trip, the guy would always be trouble. Using a kid as a shield was pathetic. Colt made a show of aiming the SIG.
I won't ask again.
After a tense standoff for what seemed like minutes, the soldier caved. He shrugged the strap of the M4 off his shoulder and shoved the rifle across the pavement.
I'm gonna catch hell if you take that.
Colt reached down and picked it up.
Should have thought of that before you picked on someone half your size.
He slipped the rifle over his neck and arm and slung it behind him.
Now let her go.
She's a thief. She should be punished.
By whom? You?
The authorities.
Colt snorted.
And who would that be, exactly? I don't see any cops around, or lawyers, or judges, or anyone who gives a damn.
Your unit doesn't have time to play jail warden.
What do you know about my unit?
I know you're locking down the college campus. Is that to keep the bad people out, or the good people in?
The soldier broke eye contact.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Part of Colt wanted to push the issue. The way the guy ducked his head meant he knew something. But the girl needed saving. She stood like a statue in a garden, still and unmoving, while the two of them traded insults. She should be somewhere safe. Didn't she have anyone to take care of her? He pushed the thoughts aside. Dealing with the girl would come later.
Let her go and hobble out of here, and I won't tell Colonel Jarvis about this little incident.
The soldier chewed on his lip and glanced around him. They were still alone.
How do I know this isn't all some sort of act? You could be a nobody.
Would a nobody be able to walk out of the college campus free and clear? Would a nobody be prepared to drop you where you kneel and not think twice?
After a moment, the guy's shoulders sagged and Colt knew he'd won.
Fine. I'll let her go.
His fist opened and the girl moved like the Flash to stand a few feet away. With a grunt of pain, the soldier pushed himself to stand, hopping when his knee threatened to give way.
I should have hauled your scrawny butt in when I had the chance.
The kid stuck her tongue out at the soldier and Colt suppressed a chuckle.
Get on with it.
You so much as open your mouth and you'll hit the pavement before a single word comes out.
Understood?
The soldier scowled at Colt, but nodded. Colt and the kid stood in the street, watching the injured soldier hop onto the sidewalk. After he disappeared out of sight, Colt turned to the girl.
Mind telling me what the hell that was all about?
Chapter 7 Danny. Downtown, Eugene, Oregon. 12:30 p.m. Danny stared at the man in the black t-shirt through strands of her hair. What was he? Some kind of commando? One of those special forces guys no one ever talked about but everyone knew existed? She ran her tongue over her teeth like she had a piece of food stuck in them, buying herself some time. During the past 3 years living with her mom, she'd learned not to trust anyone. He might have saved her, but that didn't mean he didn't bring something worse to the table. Would he kidnap her? Hold her hostage? She stared at the pistol in his hand like it might leap up and bite her. I'm going to ask you again. What was all that about? Danny flicked her gaze up to his face. She couldn't see anything behind his mirrored sunglasses. Just a bronze version of herself, distorted and smudged. His shoulders were relaxed, his body at ease with two guns and who knew what else lurking in his pockets. He knew how to handle himself. She was no match for a guy like him. She couldn't run or hide or even think about getting away. Not unless she caused a commotion. At last, she answered. I was hungry. He caught me eating.
Where? She hedged.
A store.
Do you live around here?
No.
Then what are you doing here? Do you need some help?
No. She shifted her weight, eyes never leaving the gun he still pointed. The man exhaled in a burst and lowered the weapon.
How about you come with me out of the street? We can talk. I might be able to help you.
No.
Is that all you know how to say?
Danny let a small smile tease the edges of her lips. No. The man laughed at that and pushed his sunglasses up his head.
I'm Colt.
He stuck out his hand, the thick slab of flesh hanging in the midday sun. She stared at his palm, wide and strong. If he didn't kill her, he could keep her safe. But she was better off alone. Danny. She tucked her hair behind her ear to get it out of her face, but she didn't shake his hand. Colt dropped it with a nod.
Come with me. There's a store around the corner that still has some food in it. You can finish filling up that backpack.
I don't trust you.
Good.
He held his pistol low and loose at his side.
You shouldn't trust anyone now.
Danny frowned. He didn't seem like the rapist type, or the kind to turn around and sell her to the highest bidder. She'd heard all about the dangers of human trafficking, thanks to a school assembly last year. A woman had come and stood in the cafeteria, talking about all the predators kids could meet online, and how so many never came home. For a minute, Danny had entertained the idea. How could anything be worse than her mom? But then the woman shared her own story, and Danny went home thankful that night. At least her mom ignored her some of the time. Being hungry and alone beat what that woman faced at 16. Colt glanced around.
We really should get out of the street before that guy comes back with his friends.
So that part about knowing his boss?
Was a bit of an exaggeration. If you're coming, let's go. Otherwise, I'll see you around, kid.
Colt turned to go, never once looking back. Danny stood in the street, watching until he disappeared around the corner. Something about losing sight of the man tore up her insides, and she took off, loping toward the corner of the building, with her backpack still in her hands. As she rounded the corner, she caught sight of him ducking through a busted window. She followed. The place had been trashed. What used to be a little convenience store now looked like the after effects of a riot or a bomb. The back wall of coolers stood open and empty, every case of beer stolen. The revolving stands of sunglasses were rifled through and tipped over, bits of broken plastic sprawling out across the floor. Even the gum and candy were looted. All that remained were a few tins of Altoids and a 100 grand bar. Colt watched her as she picked through the store, waiting. At last, she turned to him. So why did you rescue me? He raised an eyebrow.
Maybe I was hoping for a little appreciation.
Her cheeks warmed, and Danny focused on the ground. He'd saved her from that creep, and she hadn't even told him thank you.
I'm such a jerk. Thank you for helping me, and for not being a serial killer or a pedophile. She glanced up and caught his eye. You aren't, are you? Colt shook his head. Neither. Just a guy who can't stand to see a bully take advantage of someone half his size. That's all. Danny nodded. Then thank you. But you don't have to do anything else. I can handle myself. She set her backpack on the ground and began to repack it, shoving the six-pack of Ensure into the bottom before putting the trail mix and jerky back inside. The whole time she worked, Colt's eyes stayed on her, boring a hole in the sweatshirt she wore despite the spring heat. The entire time she packed, she tried to ignore him, focusing on the backpack and her supplies instead of the commando-turned-security guard taking up space inside the store. After a few more minutes, she couldn't take it anymore and turned to face him. He leaned back against the wall and crossed his arms over his chest. She frowned at him. What? He shrugged. Nothing. She groaned and shook her head. No way. You're thinking something. Nobody stands around like a bodyguard waiting around for no reason if they don't have an opinion. Colt pushed off the wall. Fine. Maybe I do have an opinion, but it's not one you'd want to hear. What's that supposed to mean? Just what I said. It's not my place to tell you what to pack or what supplies you might need. You don't know me. You're right. I don't. Like I said, you could be a murderer, or a drug dealer, or a cop. Colt let out a chuckle. You put the cops in the same categories as criminals? Danny focused on the half-empty rack of paper products in front of her. Most of the time they're worthless. The other times they only make it worse. Then you haven't met the right ones. Great. Is that what you are? A cop? He shook his head. Nope, but I've known enough of them to know they aren't all bad. Some of them are downright saints. Not around here, they aren't. So you do live around here. Darn it. You don't have anything to fear from me, Danny. I'm not a threat.
I don't know that. I don't know anything about you.
True.
Colt pushed off the wall and reached down to the floor. Up came a duffel bag that he slung over his body, next to the rifle, and a pair of shopping bags stuffed to the brim.
But I'm the best bet you have of making it home in one piece.
I don't need your charity.
No charity, just company.
He adjusted the duffel and glanced outside.
And a bit of protection.
Danny scowled. She couldn't take him to the nursing home and to Gran. She didn't know anything about the man. What if he turned her in when they got there? What if he was feeding her a bunch of bull just to take advantage of her when the moment was right?
You walk me home and that's it, right? You'll let me go?
I'm not keeping you prisoner. You can go without me.
She zipped up her backpack and slung it over her shoulder.
I can?
He nodded.
I just don't think you'll get very far.
He had a point. What if the military guy came back? What if she ran into someone worse? There was only one place she could take him. A place she hadn't been since the power quit out of fear of what she would find. But with a guy like Colt there, maybe it wouldn't be so bad.
All right. Let's go. She led him out of the store and down the small side street. I'll warn you, it's a long walk. Most people take the bus, but
transportation's a bit of an issue these days.
She nodded.
It's fine. I need the exercise.
After a few blocks, they fell into step. Colt a few paces behind, head always up and eyes alert. Every once in a while, Danny would steal a glance behind her to make sure he was still there. Every time he gave her a nod and resumed his surveillance. He seemed like a guy straight out of the movies, one of those FBI types who helped people out of bad situations when everything seemed hopeless. But no one was like that in real life. Everyone had baggage. Secrets. Danny learned a long time ago that nothing was as simple as it seemed at first.
They walked in companionable silence for almost an hour until Danny slowed. She pointed up at the dingy gray building with a call box out front.
"This is your place?"
She nodded. "My mom's." Danny glanced up at the building with a mixture of hope and dread. "You've seen me home. You can go now." Colt lifted up his glasses and peered at the windows above them.
"Nah, I think I'll walk you inside. Make sure the place is safe, if that's okay."
Danny shrugged. He might as well know where she came from. Pride didn't keep her safe. But she needed to warn him about what he might find. She motioned to the holster on his hip. "You might want to be prepared. My mom can sometimes..." She trailed off, unsure what to say. Colt drew the pistol and nodded.
"Thanks for the heads up. Lead the way."
Chapter 8. Colt. 489 Bellwether Street, Eugene, Oregon. 2 p.m. If the tattered name tapes on the call box were any indication of the type of residence at 489 Bellwether Street, Danny had been right to warn him. The whole area looked one step up from the ghetto. No way the army had made it this far in their patrols. From where he stood, Colt counted 5 busted-out windows, new car up on blocks, and 2 burned buildings from the inside out. Riots had already gripped this part of Eugene. He wondered how many people were still left. As Danny fumbled with a key for the scratched and scuffed front door, Colt squinted to look through the glass. Dilapidated cardboard boxes leaned against one wall like a row of laborers who toiled all day in the sun, the backs bent and soaked in sweat. An empty counter that once held a doorman sagged beside a shabby set of stairs. Run down was the charitable way to describe the place Danny called home. She pushed the door open, and the smell forced Colt to hold his breath. Garbage. Lots of it. He slipped in behind Danny, and the putrid odor almost knocked him smack on his butt. "What is that?" She winced at his words.
"I guess no one's taking out the trash."
She pointed at a hallway toward the rear of the lobby where bags spilled over each other in a stinking heap.
"The dumpster's out that way, but it looks like there's a backup."
Why didn't someone set the bags outside? Then the place wouldn't smell like this. Ugh. He brought his arm up to his nose, but it did nothing to ward off the smell. Danny shrugged, but he caught the frown on her face. He shouldn't ride the girl so hard. He shoved down a wave of nausea and tried to lighten the mood. "The people who live here, they're not big on housekeeping, I guess."
"Something like that."
Danny walked through the lobby and started up the ragged stairs. Years of foot traffic had worn holes in a faded red carpet, exposing 50-year-old linoleum beneath. The middle of each stair sank with use, and Danny kept to the edges, trying to step where fewer feet had gone before. This wasn't her first time. Something inside Colt began to ache, a low throb that echoed with every step. She wasn't the first kid he'd seen living in a situation like this, but she was the first one he felt an obligation to help. Maybe because all the others had been while on active duty, or because he'd been halfway around the world with more than a language barrier between him and all the little faces peering out of doorways and windows without glass. The paint in the hall, once white, now streaked yellow from fingers and smoke. The railings were mostly black from a million greasy palms. It was the kind of place reserved for drug addicts and their dealers, not a 15-year-old with clear eyes and a backpack full of food for someone else. Colt eased up the stairs a few behind Danny, letting her slight frame lead the way. She paused before stepping onto the 3rd-floor landing. Holding herself still with one arm wrapped around her middle, she clutched the key to the apartment like it could teleport her out of there. Whatever waited inside, she didn't want to face it alone. Colt stopped beside her. "Maybe I should go first." With a shake of her head, she refused.
"No, I should do it. If Mom is home and she sees you, she'll freak."
After another moment, Danny stepped forward, her feet steady, even though her hand never left her middle. So young and so brave. She stopped outside apartment 304 and knocked loud enough to be heard down the hall.
Mom, it's Danny. I'm coming in.
She unlocked the door and pushed it open. The door swung on squeaky hinges to reveal an apartment even worse than the hall. A bag of trash sat by the front door, half open and stinking. Pizza boxes and beer cans spilling onto the dirty floor.
Mom?
Danny took a step forward, but Colt shot out his arm. He couldn't let her go in there unprotected, not based on his glimpse of the place.
Let me go first, just to clear it.
She hung back with a frown, and Colt entered the apartment. It started with a hall, long and dark, without any overhead lights.
Do you have a flashlight?
I've got a lighter.
Colt shook his head.
That won't work. All it will do is blind you.
He crept forward, gun held comfortably down at his side.
Hello? He called out. Is anyone home?
Even an addict riding a high would have heard his booming question. He eased down the hall to the living room. It opened in front of him, and the sight fell like a brick into his stomach. Danny rushed past him to open the sagging brown curtains stained from smoke and grime. Sunlight fell on the coffee table, and Colt forced his lips not to curl in disgust. Tinted foil sat on the table, burn marks snaking down the middle, a lighter tossed beside it. Empty, corner-cut bags littered the pocked wood tabletop. He motioned to the mess.
This all your mom's?
Danny nodded, eyes never leaving the obvious signs of drug use.
I never touch the stuff.
Good.
Colt brushed past the couch and entered the tiny kitchen. He sucked in a breath before opening the fridge, but he didn't need to. The only thing inside was an empty jar of pickles and a single can of beer. He shut it and glanced around. No food in the cabinets, nothing to drink on the counter.
Did you eat everything before you left?
He hated to ask the question, but Colt had to know. How bad did this kid have it? Danny picked at the sleeve of her sweatshirt.
Mom wasn't big on groceries.
Damn.
Where are the bedrooms?
There's only one.
She stuck out her thumb toward the right.
It's down the other hall.
Colt followed where Danny pointed, clearing a tiny bathroom covered in grit and mold before heading into the bedroom. God, a mattress sat on the floor, sheets gray with dirt and soil haphazardly thrown on top. A dresser sat in the corner, piled high with empty beer cans and liquor bottles. A hollowed-out light bulb with burn marks sat on the floor beside the bed. Colt bent to pick it up. Meth. It had to be. He set it down and strode back into the living room. Danny hadn't moved.
Is that everything?
She nodded.
Where do you sleep?
She pointed to the threadbare couch, worn to the stuffing on both arms.
My mom can't afford a two-bedroom.
Colt couldn't bear the thought of leaving this kid here alone. What if her mother came back? He turned and glanced again at the empty kitchen. What if she didn't? He swallowed. A kid? He wasn't cut out to raise a kid. Not before the power grid failed, and certainly not after. He couldn't be a father to her. But he couldn't leave her there, either. She looked so small standing in the light of the afternoon sun, her dirty hair highlighting gold in places. If she cleaned herself up and ate a million sandwiches, she'd be cute. A good kid that didn't deserve to live like this. Embarrassment and shame rolled off her in waves as she focused on the floor. Her fingers never stopped rubbing the hem of her sweatshirt, a little motion like a knife into Colt's conscience. If he left her there on her own, what kind of man would he be? Not worthy to be called a SEAL. Not worthy to be called a man at all. He scrubbed a hand down his face and exhaled.
How about you come with me?
Danny jerked her head up, eyes wide and shimmering with unshed tears.
I can't do that.
Why not?
She swallowed.
I have reasons.
Colt rubbed at his temple. He had to get through to her. She needed to understand her options. He tried not to let his disdain infect his words.
Your mom, is she good to you?
Danny looked away.
Damn it, Danny, you can't stay here. There's no food, no water, it's not safe.
I can...
Colt held up his hand to cut her off.
Just hear me out, okay?
I'm not a family man, I don't do kids or relationships or dogs or any of that stuff. It's always just been me and me alone.
I don't want to be your surrogate dad.
Her eyes narrowed.
Then what do you want?
I can protect you. As long as you're with me, no one will hurt you, I can promise you that.
Danny's brows furrowed, shielding her brown eyes from his patient stare. She focused on him for so long, Colt wondered if she was working up the courage to say no. At last, her chin shot up.
I'm not alone.
Colt remembered her plea to the soldier in the street.
Your grandmother?
She nodded.
Where is she?
Sunnyvale Convalescent Hospital. It's by the college.
Then we'll go get her.
You mean just walk in and wheel her out?
Colt nodded.
Danny shook her head.
It's not going to be that easy.
Chapter 9. Colt. Downtown, Eugene, Oregon. 3:30 p.m.
You lived with her until you were 12?
Danny nodded as she walked beside Colt, her posture more relaxed every block they moved closer to the nursing home.
We lived in a little apartment across town. It was small, but there were two playgrounds and a basketball court, and I could walk to the library.
Sounds great.
Colt couldn't imagine growing up in a place like that, only to end up living in the squalid apartment they had left behind. Danny didn't say anything for a while, and Colt wondered if he'd brought up painful memories. He still didn't understand how her mother fit into all of this.
So, your mom...
She's got some problems. When she went to prison the first time, that's when Gran took me in. I was 4.
Colt couldn't imagine a toddler in that hellhole Danny's mother called a home.
Was your mom living in that place back then?
Danny shook her head.
No, she had a job. A real good one, working the cash register at a service shop.
Danny's voice dropped a bit, and Colt leaned closer to listen.
But she never had good luck with men. One of her boyfriends was a real jerk. Gran said he beat her up real bad, put her in the hospital.
Her voice quivered, and Colt guessed he shouldn't push her anymore. Whatever her story, he'd learn it eventually. Colt went back to canvassing the neighborhood. The closer they got to the college, the quieter everything became. No kids out playing, no people chatting on their front porch. It didn't make any sense. It went from burned-out crack shack to ghost town in less than a mile. About 5 blocks back, they'd come across a couple of men gathered in the shallow of a tree, heads together, speaking low.
But the minute they saw Colt and Danny, the pair rushed off, ducking into a side entrance basement and out of sight.
They acted afraid.
Colt brushed it off. He couldn't do anything about a couple of strangers now.
Danny walked beside him, kicking at the pavement and keeping her eyes on the road. They were a few blocks from the college when Colt saw the familiar camouflage at the end of the street. He grabbed Danny's arm.
She started to protest, but Colt put his finger up to his lips.
There's an army guy in the next block. We should hide. Danny's pale cheeks flushed, and she nodded, all of a sudden looking so much younger than her 15 years.
Where should we go?
Colt glanced around. They were in the middle of a mixed-use area, half residential, half business.
Let's use the alley behind the shops. Maybe we can skirt around him.
He led Danny toward the small road barely big enough for a compact sedan. He was the third one they had avoided so far. Always a single armed guardsman canvassing the area on foot. Were they there to only keep order, or was something else going on? Colt didn't know, and he didn't want to find out. As soon as he figured out how to ensure Danny's safety, he would hit the road. She was a good kid, but he told her the truth. He didn't do family. They crouched behind a rank dumpster, and Colt put on a smile.
Okay, Danny, you stay hidden right here, and I'll check it out.
She opened her mouth, but Colt shook his head.
Don't even think about coming with me. He could be dangerous. It could be the guy who caught you before, or someone else we don't want to run into.
But if it isn't, then we don't need to hide.
You don't know that. There aren't many people out on the streets. I've been inside the college since I got here. I don't know what's going on out here. For all I know, the army could have standing orders to detain anyone they meet. We can't risk it.
She palmed her hip and scowled, but didn't argue anymore. Colt's smile turned genuine.
Good. Just stay here and stay quiet. I'll be back soon.
Colt set his bags down beside Danny's feet and pulled the M4 off his shoulder. He didn't want to use it, but better to be safe than sorry. After creeping to the end of the building, he eased out just enough to catch a glimpse of the street beyond. The soldier walked down the road, rifle perched on his shoulder, head on a slow-motion swivel. He hadn't seen them. Colt pulled back and thought about their options. They couldn't walk into the road and make themselves known. Colt carried a stolen M4. They both probably had a warrant out for their arrest or whatever the guard was coming up with these days. And he couldn't explain his connection to the girl. No, that would never work. He crept back to Danny.
The way I see it, we have two viable options. One, we wait the guy out. I don't know how long it will take or whether more guys are coming, but we could hunker down here and wait until the coast is clear and go.
She fidgeted with the zipper of her hoodie while she thought it over.
Okay, what's the other option?
We run for it.
They had done it twice before, but never with a soldier this close.
What if he sees us?
Colt glanced up at the blue sky.
If we're fast, he won't.
If we're slow?
Then we'll probably get caught and have to fight.
She frowned as she ran her fingernail over the tines of the zipper.
If I weren't with you, what would you do?
Colt exhaled.
I might try to talk my way out of it, but it's too risky now. The guy I disarmed had to have made it back to the base by now. Our descriptions are all over the unit.
He leaned out away from the dumpster to check the alley one more time.
If we don't try to sneak by him, we could be here all night.
Gran will be worried sick.
And you're willing to try?
Running?
She looked up at him with eyes full of hope and determination.
You bet.
Good.
Colt reached down for his bags.
Any chance you have room in that backpack for one of these bags? They're too loud on their own.
Danny slipped her pack off her shoulders and pulled it open. Colt managed to stuff not one, but both bags inside. She hoisted it back up and onto her shoulders.
Is it too heavy?
I can manage.
She tightened the straps and flashed a brave smile.
Ready?
Colt nodded.
Let's go.
Danny followed a pace behind as Colt eased around the dumpster and down the alley. As they neared the exposed edge of the building, Colt stopped.
How far to the nursing home?
About a mile.
Can you get there if we separate?
Yes.
All right, then let's go. If he sees us, I want you to take off. Run as fast as you can all the way to the nursing home. If anyone follows you, try to hide.
Danny's face pinched in alarm.
What about you?
Just give me directions and I'll find the place.
After Danny rattled off the address and the best way to get there, Colt nodded.
Got it. Deep breath, and we go on three. One, two.
On three, the two of them took off, running in half-crouched down the side of the building and to the street. Colt held out his hand, and Danny stopped just behind him. He leaned forward and scoped out the street. The guardsmen still walked straight down the middle of the road. From the distance, Colt couldn't make out anything but the green of his uniform as it stood out against the asphalt. Could they make it across the street without being spotted?
Only one way to find out.
He turned to Danny. You go first. Run as fast and as quiet as you can across the street. He pointed at the closed copy shop ahead.
Stop at the far end of the copy store, okay?
She nodded, but from the way her shoulders almost touched her ears, he knew she was afraid.
I'll be right behind you. Go!
Danny took off like a sprinter, dashing into the road. Colt raced behind her, eyes scanning in all directions. Halfway across the pavement, Danny stumbled, but she didn't cry out. She picked herself up and kept going. In seconds, they were across the street. Colt stopped beside Danny and clutched the wall to catch his breath.
Good job.
I fell.
But she got back up.
He patted her on the back.
That's what matters.
Danny smiled, and it warmed Colt in a way he didn't expect. He was proud of her. As soon as the realization hit him, he shut it down. No getting attached. He couldn't stay in Eugene, and Danny couldn't leave. He'd promised to keep her safe, and he would. But as soon as he figured out what to do with her and her grandmother, Colt would be gone. The remaining mile to the nursing home passed without incident. Other than a yowly tabby cat, they didn't pass another soul on the road. Danny pointed out the low brown building, and Colt nodded.
This is it.
Looks like a good place.
It is.
So how do we get in?
Danny gave him the once-over.
It's going to be a tight fit.
5 minutes later, they stood behind a row of bushes on the rear side of the facility.
There is no way I'm fitting through there.
Danny ducked beneath the cut screen and shoved the window open.
I don't know of another way in. Every door is locked, and I don't have a key.
She pushed it up as high as it would go before reaching for their bags. She dumped both onto the floor of the dark room and hoisted herself up and over. Her feet landed with a thud on the other side, and she stood up.
Do you want me to help pull you through?
Colt rubbed his chin.
No, I'm going to have to do this the old-fashioned way.
What's that?
Brute force. Stand back.
As Danny stepped out of the way, Colt took a deep breath and jumped. His hands landed on the sill and he managed to catapult a third of the way into the window before his shoulders stuck.
Damn it.
He wiggled his right arm, biting back a string of curse words as the metal dug into his skin. But after a moment, he pulled it free. With one arm on the inside of the window, he used his strength to push himself through the rest of the way. Colt landed in a heap on the floor and the whole room shook. Danny reached out her hand to help him up.
See? I knew you'd fit.
Colt mumbled his disagreement.
Let's go meet your gran.
Chapter 10. Danny. Sunnyvale Convalescent Hospital, Eugene, Oregon. 7 p.m.
Run me through while we're stuck in this supply closet again?
Danny chewed on her lip, while Colt expressed his distaste of her hide-and-lurk strategy. Because if we get caught, the staff will kick us out.
I'm sure if I talk to someone I can straighten it all out. The people who are still showing up to work have to be at the end of their rope. They would welcome some relief.
Danny wasn't about to tell him her run-in with the staff the week the grid failed, or how she'd barely escaped them calling the cops. The less he knew about her life, the better. She wished she hadn't brought him to the nursing home at all. But standing in her mom's apartment, looking at it all with a stranger's eyes, she had never been more disgusted or ashamed. Why did she live like that? Why did she keep going back there when her mom didn't give a damn about her? I would have been better off on the streets. Danny shook the thoughts off. They aren't letting any visitors in. If a relative shows up, then the patient has to leave with them. I don't... She twisted the cuff of her sweatshirt sleeve around her fingers. I don't have anywhere to take Gran. She needs to stay here. Colt didn't say anything. Did he regret rescuing her? Was he already looking for a way out? Danny didn't know anymore whether she wanted him to leave or stay. He saved her and helped her find more food and get all the way back to the nursing home without getting caught. But could she trust him? Could she trust anyone? At last he broke the silence and the tornado of her thoughts.
Next time pick a bigger closet, okay? My knees are killing me.
Danny ducked her head and smiled. We can probably get there now. It's dark enough to sneak around. Colt eased the door open and stuck his head into the hall. After confirming it stood empty, he let Danny take the lead. Danny didn't know how her grandmother would react to a giant guy her mom's age with a rifle slung over his shoulder. But what choice did she have? Colt deserved to meet the woman Danny worked so hard to protect. She sneaked a glance behind her. His square head and short hair reminded her of an action hero. The huge shoulders and ability to disarm another man only added to it. She wanted to ask him a million questions. Was he a good guy? Bad? Did he save people or hurt them, or was he just a dude with a gym in his garage and too much time on his hands? Danny would have to leave the questions to Gran. She paused outside her door. Colt didn't seem like the type to stick around, and he'd said as much. But Danny couldn't help wondering.
If he stuck around long enough, maybe he'd end up being a friend.
She pushed the door open and ushered Colt through. The room was darker than the hall with the blinds drawn, and she couldn't see her grandmother's bed.
Gran? Are you awake?
Her grandmother didn't respond.
Danny rushed up to the bed, leaning close enough to feel the older woman's breath on her cheek.
Gran, wake up. She gave her grandmother a gentle nudge in the shoulder.
Are you all right?
Her grandmother whispered so faintly, Danny almost missed it.
Yeah, of course I am. Danny pulled back. What's with the whisper?
Gran grabbed the edge of Danny's sweatshirt in her bony fingers, but kept her eyes shut, lips barely moving as she spoke again.
That man, is he hurting you? Are you okay?
It took Danny a moment before it all made sense.
Oh! She laughed and her grandmother's eyes shot open. Gran, I'm fine.
She waved Colt over. Colt, meet my Gran. Colt stepped up to the bed and her grandmother eyed him with distrust.
Open the blind so I can get a better look at him.
Do you think that's a good idea? What about the orderlies?
Gran waved her off.
They're all gone for the day. We're fine.
Danny preferred to be cautious, but she wouldn't argue with Gran. She opened the blinds as she talked.
I swear he's not a bad guy. He saved me from a real creep of a soldier out on the road.
As Danny turned back around, Gran flicked on a flashlight she kept beside her on the bed.
Gran, everyone will see you!
Hush, Danny. If you'd come back before dinner, I wouldn't need to use it. But now it's dark and my old eyes can't see. I need to get a good look at him.
The beam landed square on Colt's face, and he blinked.
Did you really help Danielle out there?
Yes, ma'am.
You didn't kidnap my granddaughter, force her to say these things.
Gran!
Hush, child, I want to hear him say it.
Oh, my God. Her grandmother was off her rocker. Interrogating a guy twice her size who carried multiple guns and knew how to use them? What did she think she would do, blind him with that dollar store flashlight?
Colt shielded his eyes with his hand.
Danny told you the truth, ma'am. I helped her out of a tough situation and promised to get her back here safely.
Gran clicked the light off and Danny exhaled in relief.
Anyone could have seen it from outside. What if an orderly already called the authorities?
Danny watched out the window, fidgeting with her zipper, while Gran adjusted the pillows behind her back. At least the interrogation was over. Her grandmother cleared her throat.
Oh, no.
You're awful old to have an interest in Danielle. You aren't one of those creepy old men who likes little kids, are you?
Danny's cheeks burned bright red. She focused on the window and refused to turn around. At least then they wouldn't see her face.
No, ma'am. I prefer grown women for that sort of thing.
Danny almost choked on her own spit.
Good. You can call me Doris.
Danny turned just enough to watch Colt stick out his giant hand and give her grandmother's a quick shake.
Thank you for rescuing Danielle.
You're welcome. Maybe now they could all relax.
So, what's with the rifle? Are you a hunter?
Danny groaned. Her grandmother was going to run Colt off before he'd even sat down.
Gran, enough already!
Colt glanced her way, an unreadable expression on his face. He slipped the rifle off his shoulder and leaned it against the wall.
A soldier didn't need it, that's all.
So you're a thief!
Gran scooted up on the bed and reached for Danny.
You go out there and get someone to take this man.
No!
She hated to shout, but this had all gone on long enough.
Gran, it's not like that. He took it from the guy who caught me. If Colt didn't, we wouldn't have been safe.
Her grandmother frowned, eyeing Colt from behind her wrinkled brow.
Is that true?
Yes, ma'am.
Gran's accusation didn't seem to faze him at all.
If anything, he looked amused. To be honest, I'm more of a pistol man myself. Never did like the M4. Always thought it too big and hard to maneuver. Gran eased back against her pillows. Military, then?
Former Navy SEAL, ma'am. I was career until I almost lost my leg in a helo crash.
And now? He scratched at his beard.
Now I'm an air marshal. Or at least I was until the plane stopped flying.
Danny turned to stare at Colt. She knew her eyes had to be round as saucers, but she couldn't help it. A Navy SEAL? No wonder the man knew how to hide and fight and get out of a jam. She shifted her weight back and forth on the balls of her feet, while her grandmother peppered Colt with more questions. Where he came from, what the streets were like out there, what he knew about the power loss. His answer stopped her cold.
What's an EMP?
He glanced up.
An electromagnetic pulse. I'm not a scientist, but I think it's like a really big wave of energy. It flowed through the power grid and fried it. Nothing's coming back on.
That's crazy. The power companies have to know how to fix it. Colt pinched the back of his neck.
According to the people I talked to, it's not fixable. Not for a long time.
Danny shook her head. What's that mean? Weeks? Months?
Years. Maybe not ever.
She leaned back against the wall. This is it? This is how we have to live now? Colt nodded. Her grandmother spoke back up, asking more questions about the power and the army, and what Colt thought about Eugene. Their whole conversation passed Danny by in a blur. All she could think about was life before the power went out. At last, her grandmother turned to her with a smile.
All right. He passes.
Danny didn't even know what to say. Gran smiled and reached out to pat her face.
Don't worry, dear. I'm just doing my job. What kind of grandmother would I be if I didn't make sure the man you brought home wasn't out to rob us? Or worse.
Not a very good one, that's for sure.
Colt smiled.
It's all right, Danny. I'm glad to see your grandmother cares. After seeing where you live...
Gran stilled and glanced at Danny. Heck, she'd hoped to keep that little visit a secret. She braced herself for Gran's reaction.
I took him to Mom's place. Danielle! I didn't know if I could trust him, and I wanted to see if she ever came home.
Her grandmother shook her head.
I never should have let them send you back to that woman.
You were sick. You didn't have a choice.
I take it you and your daughter weren't on the best terms.
Gran practically spat out her tongue.
That woman is not my daughter. She's Danielle's mother. Married my son, had Danielle, and a year later Ricky died at the factory in a horrible accident.
She reached for a tissue and held it up to her lips.
We couldn't even have an open casket. But that woman, she blew through the insurance money like it grew on a tree in the backyard. Shacked up with I don't know how many men. Got hooked on those drugs and then, Gran, that's enough.
Danny hated it when her grandmother went on a tear about her mom. But to have Colt stand there like a ghost and listen to the whole thing. She shook her head. You know she didn't get addicted on purpose. She hurt her back. The pain pills the doctor gave her were too much. She couldn't get off them. When he stopped writing her the prescription, that's when everything went downhill.
That's what her lawyer said, but I don't believe it.
I do. Danny reached for her grandmother's hand and gave it a squeeze. She wouldn't have let things get so bad if she hadn't taken those pills, Gran. I know it. Her grandmother exhaled.
You were a little girl, Danny. You didn't see the whole picture.
I saw enough. Danny pulled away from her grandmother and bent to open her backpack. She held out Colt's 2 shopping bags without looking up, and he took them from her hands. Bringing Colt to visit Gran had been a mistake. Now she'd poisoned him against her mother.
and told secrets she had no right to tell. Danny kept her head down as her grandmother's tirade rattled around in her head like marbles in a tin can. She needed some air. "I'm going to check out the floor, see if anyone's still on shift.
Danielle, are you sure that's a good idea?"
She stood up and brushed off Gran's concern. "Yeah, I'm sure. I'll be back in a while. There's some food in the backpack." Colt spoke up.
"I'll make sure she eats."
"Thanks." Danny rushed out of the room before either of them could see her cry.
Chapter 11. Colt. Sunnyvale Convalescent Hospital, Eugene, Oregon. 7:30 p.m. Colt pulled up a chair next to the old woman's bed and sat down. His feet ached from a day on the hot asphalt and his back cramped up from the tumble in from the too small window, but the company pleasantly surprised him. After grilling him a bit harder once Danny left the room, her grandmother seemed to accept he wasn't interested in anything more than helping the pair of them for a little while. He slipped his hands behind his head and leaned back. What was Danny's father like? Doris smiled at the memory.
"A good man. My son worked 14-hour days to take care of that little baby."
Her smile faded as she glanced at Colt.
"He never should have married Becky. That woman was trouble from the start."
"Danny's mom?" Doris nodded.
"All she ever saw in him was a meal ticket. A good factory job, health care. That's all my Ricky was to her. If she hadn't gotten pregnant, I'd have been able to talk some sense into him."
Colt bit back a smile. Mothers never approved of the people their kids dated, but it sounded like Doris might have been right this time. Danny said she hurt her back.
"A few months after Ricky died, Becky was in a nasty car accident. A postal service van ran a red light and T-boned her, wrapped the little Honda around a telephone pole."
"Sounds like she was lucky to be alive."
Doris snorted.
"Would have been better if she died. Took me 3 years to get that baby away from her. 3 years of pills, then pot, then meth. Every man she brought home was worse than the last. The one she was with when everything went to hell, Lord have mercy, I thought he was going to kill her and Danny, too."
Colt knew guys in the service who couldn't get off their pain pills. Doctors were willing to write anyone a prescription these days for a narcotic. 30 days on Oxy and good luck trying to kick the habit. He'd seen it so many times that Colt vowed never to touch the stuff. He didn't even take aspirin anymore. Part of him didn't want to drag painful memories out of Doris, but he needed to know what he was getting into. Assessing risk was the only way to stay alive when the world went to shit. "What happened to the last guy?"
"He had Becky all strung out, begging for another hit. She tried to..."
Doris coughed, choking on her own words, and Colt rose up to stand. She waved him off with a crumpled tissue in her hand.
"When he wouldn't give her any more drugs, Becky tried to sell Danny to him. But he said she was too young, that he needed her at least 7.
Doris trembled on the bed, and the sheets rustled around her.
7.
Colt hung his head. He'd seen some terrible things in his years of active duty, but kids like Danny always got to him. "What did she do?"
"Becky stole, got caught trying to rob a convenience store. She had a knife, no gun, but they charged her with armed robbery. She didn't get out until Danny was 10, and by then she'd been living with me for so long that the court let her stay. If I hadn't gotten sick..."
"Cancer, right?"
Doris nodded. Colt hated to ask, but he pressed on.
"Is it in remission?"
She stayed silent for a moment, staring at him, her wrinkled skin pinched around her lips.
"It was for a while, but it came back earlier this year."
Doris glanced up at the door.
"Don't tell Danny. She doesn't know."
"How bad?"
Doris smiled.
"I won't be leaving this bed, even if the whole building falls down around me."
Colt nodded. The minute he'd seen her frail body propped up on pillows to seem larger and more substantial, he'd known. Her skin hung on her bones like a 95-year-old, loose and crepe-paper thin. A breeze would knock her over. Doris was holding on for Danny, but there would come a time when she wouldn't wake up. He wondered how Danny would survive when her grandmother was gone. He dropped his voice a bit lower.
"Do you know how she's been living these last few years?"
Doris closed her eyes.
"Not well.
It doesn't seem like it.
When she stopped coming to visit, I feared the worst, but I'm an old woman who can't walk more than 5 steps at a time. I couldn't help her."
Colt spared Doris the details.
The woman had enough guilt heaped on her hunched shoulders she didn't need any more.
He pushed himself up to stand.
"If it's all right with you, I'm going to find an empty room and get some sleep."
Doris nodded.
"That's what Danny does, too. Will you be here in the morning?"
"Yes, ma'am."
The old woman smiled, and beneath the wrinkles and the pain, he could see her beauty. She'd been a stunner once.
"Sleep well, Colt."
"You too, Doris."
He grabbed his things and eased the door open. The place managed to stay cool at night thanks to the drop in temperature outside, but Colt wondered how long the facility could keep going.
Whatever fuel source they were using to keep the critical patients alive, it had to run out soon.
Doris told him the orderlies came to her room once a day with a bucket of water and flushed the toilet. They were still working, but for how long? That any staff showed up at all amazed Colt.
If the place kept going much longer, other people would notice, people who lacked the same moral framework as Colt, people who wanted the path of least resistance. Maybe Eugene was one of those towns that would escape the worst of the fallout and rebuild quickly, but Colt didn't know. From what he'd seen, only portions of the college and this little nursing home had power. If the army really had figured out how to use nearby wind turbines, then the power they supplied, along with the string of porta-potties outside the stadium, could keep the army going for a long time. But what about everyone else? Would the National Guard turn the stadium into a camp? Would everyone from town be rounded up and turned into cattle?
If that happened, Danny could say goodbye to Doris. Danny would be processed, assigned a number and a cot, and given an MRE a day to survive. What would happen after that? What would happen to her when the aid ran out? He'd seen it in Haiti and Africa. Aid would flood the area in the beginning, bringing water and tents and a bunch of shiny new supplies. But a month later, the water source would be spreading disease, the tents would be cesspools of filth, and the aid workers would be gone, on to the next crisis. The victims would be worse off than before anyone showed up. Colt shook his head. The National Guard might be the only reason the town hadn't descended into chaos. But why were they there? What was the point? Even after 2 weeks of living in the confines of the university dorms, he didn't have any answers. Sure, a few of the soldiers had shared some rumors, cities burned nationwide, and the president hiding underground. But what did it mean for the future of the country? Who was leading this unit? Where were the orders coming from? Colt wouldn't sleep easy until he left Eugene, Oregon, far, far behind. As he walked down the hall, he peered into every room, checking to see if he could claim one as his own. He found Danny, 4 doors away. She slept on the bed, curled up in a tight little ball, looking every bit the little girl. Her arms wrapped around something soft and furry. A stuffed animal? Colt ached for her. The hell she'd been through in only 15 years. Tomorrow, he would get up and take her out of the nursing home and show her a few things to survive. When he left, he wanted Danny to be prepared to make it on her own. He didn't think Doris would last too much longer. Day 17. Chapter 12. Colt. Downtown, Eugene, Oregon. 6 a.m.
"I don't understand why we're here. It's not like we need printer paper."
Danny stood with her back to Colt, on lookout.
"No one's thought to break in yet.
These places have tons of stuff we can use. Things that might get you through while I'm gone." Colt kept the last bit to himself. He'd been crouched in front of the rear door to the office supply store for at least 10 minutes, fiddling with the lock.
He hated doing things the hard way, but there hadn't been another way in, and if he wanted to keep their find a secret, he needed to be tidy. And a hell of a lot faster. With a deep breath, he went back to work, holding down the one little screen.